I'm going to have the ushers, if you guys can pass out these little circles. These are a great opportunity for us to be able to invite people to a very meaningful time of the year in the Christian faith, the Christmas season. So we're encouraging you to take a couple of them. There's plenty of them in that little packet that you get. And just to give them to a family member, invite somebody to join you at one of the Christmas services, the Christmas Eve service. It is probably one of the more natural times of the year to be able to offer an invitation to somebody to church. So we encourage you to do that. You can leave them places. I don't care what you do with them. But don't leave them on your kitchen table at home. Get them in somebody's hands and invite somebody. We're going to be starting a series next week called The Cast of Christmas, and we're looking at different groups of people from the first Christmas story and kind of their involvement in the Christmas story and their perspective of the Christmas story. So you'll want to be here for those weeks as well. But before Christmas, this upcoming Thursday, we have another great time of celebration that is a part of the weeks ahead, and that's called Thanksgiving. And on Thanksgiving Day, this upcoming Thursday, I'm going to guess that almost every single one of us have one thing in common. And that one thing in common is that we will get an invitation to come to the table at some point during that day. Somebody's going to say, dinner's ready, come to the table. And this morning, as we've gathered here this morning, we're going to talk about the invitation that Christ gives us to come to the table. Has anybody in here ever in your life had a stray cat or dog that's been wandering around your neighborhood and you decided to feed that cat or dog? Show of hands, it's time to fess up. So what do you call that cat and dog after you fed it? It's your pet, right? It's not going anywhere anymore. It's just coming back to you. It is now your cat or your dog. And it's going to keep coming back to you because you gave it just a little bit of what it needed to physically survive. Now, it's up to you whether you want to give it more than that. You have the option to be able to take that cat or dog in and begin to love it and let it become your actual pet. Or you can just shoo it away, would be the other option. And it'll just keep on coming back. I want you to turn with me to the book of John chapter 6 this morning. It's page 722. We're going to verse 27. John chapter 6. We're going to verse 27. It says this. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. Jesus, in this verse, is speaking to a group of people who He had just fed, and they were following Him as a result of that. And He points out the fact that their reason for following Him is so temporary. He just met this physical need of feeding them. And like the stray cat or like the stray dog that some of us have fed, we can then be given more than just that physical need through Jesus Christ. In Psalms 34:8, King David wrote, he said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." God doesn't want to only feed us a snack. He doesn't want to just meet our physical needs. He desires a much deeper relationship and to give us much more than that. He desires for us to take refuge in Him. Bread sustains life. And His body, in a few minutes as we come forward and we receive communion, we take the bread that represents His body. It was sacrificed. It was broken for each one of us that know Him today. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar." It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Leviticus is saying that, blood is life. It's equal to life. And when Jesus' blood was shed, his life was poured out. And all who would kneel at the foot of the cross received that life in a sin-cleansing, life-giving bath. Jesus said these elements, we're talking about the bread and the blood, are symbolic of his body and his blood. There's no saving power in the bread or the cup that we'll take this morning. Nobody gets saved because you partake in communion. It's a time of remembrance. This is only for those who have been saved by the sacrificial body and the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. I want us to take a few moments before we come this morning to receive communion and just talk about several thoughts in regards to coming to the Lord's table, to receiving that invitation that each one of us has to come to the table. And the first thought is this: before we sit down for a meal, we need to clean our hands. Right? Just think about this in the practical sense. If you are outside working all morning long in your garden, or you're working in the garage and you're working on the car doing an oil change, and your spouse says, "Hey, come on in, I got lunch ready." Right? Do you just go in and you pick up the sandwich and start eating and pick up the chips and start eating with all that gross stuff on your hands? No, you absolutely don't. You clean your hands before you do that. You wash up. This is the idea, and it's no different than the idea that we see in Scripture as to examining ourselves and becoming clean before we go into the mode of receiving communion. I want you to turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to go to verse 28. And just before verse 28, it's Jesus. They're at the Last Supper, and Jesus is giving the instructions to his disciples to take the bread, to take the cup, and to do this in remembrance of him. And then in verse 28... the 1 Corinthians, it goes on to say, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This is the washing our hands when we come inside from working in the garden, working on the car. It's examining ourselves so we can see if there's something within our lives that needs to be cleaned up, needs to be made right with our God. As children, some may have had the opportunity to go to bed without supper. Anybody in here ever have that opportunity as a kid? Come on. Am I the only one? Actually, I don't know if I ever did, but yeah, some of you did. Others of us did have certainly the opportunity to go and hang out in our room for hours on end to think about what we had just done. And the hope of any parent in that time of sending you to your room is that you will take a little bit of time and maybe reflect a little bit on what you did. And the real hope of the parent is that you'll actually see what you did was wrong and maybe even go a step so far as to make it right. Now, we know that that's not normally the way it always plays out, at least in our households that I've grown up in and others that I've talked to. It's not the way it always works out. But that would be the hope there, that there's a time of examination that takes place within our own lives to see what it is that we've done and what needs to be done to make it right. In 1 Corinthians, Jesus is simply telling us to examine ourselves and to make things right that may be upside down in our lives. To take a moment and make sure that we are coming to the table, that we're accepting this invitation that Jesus gives to us with clean hands, clean hearts, and clean minds. The second thing is, before dining, we need to have a good appetite. What would happen if you were invited to somebody's house this evening for dinner, and about an hour before you leave to go to their house, you decide to open up the cabinet, pull out the chips, pull out a good big diet soda or regular soda, make sure that you get a couple Twinkies in there as well, and you start eating all this junk food about an hour before you go, right? Well, you filled yourself up on all this junk, And then you won't have room for the good stuff when you get to the person's house in just a few minutes. Same is true with our lives with Christ, as we can fill ourselves up with junk and not allow room for the good stuff that He offers to us. After all this junk, we'd have such a little appetite for the good stuff. And Paul tells us, he says this, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You can't have a part of both the Lord's table and the table of demons. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. God offers us this essential meal to our lives, the bread, the cup. It won't fill us up physically, but they will satisfy our spiritual hunger. When we stuff ourselves with spiritual junk in our lives, with sin, when we allow sin into our lives, we lose our appetite for the banquet that God has prepared for us. We need to taste and to see the satisfying goodness of the Lord. There's a study done at Cornell University that identified a chemical that is found in grapes that reduces the risk of heart disease. And in this, in the Journal of Applied Cardiology, it says that the grape juice lowers cholesterol and cleanses the heart of life-threatening impurities. At the Lord's table, grape juice represents the blood of Christ as we come this morning, which cleanses our spiritual hearts of sinful, deadly disease within us. We are in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We are exposed to sin, but with God's help, we can resist that temptation of sin. Do we get an appetite for what God has for us when we're fixated on things of this world? I would suggest no, we don't. But we do when we take our focus and we put it on God and His kingdom and what He is doing, what He would have us do. See, Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 5, He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So secondly, before dining, we need to have a good appetite. Thirdly, we also need harmony at the table. If you've been coming here for any amount of time, you know my hope, my desire for unity within the body of Christ, for unity within this church, for unity within our family units. I think unity is such an important piece to our lives and living life successfully together, today more than ever perhaps. Who here is going to, in the next month and a half, so we're talking over Christmas or over Thanksgiving and Christmas, who's going to have a meal with their extended family of some sort? Right? Almost all of us. How many of you have been to these meals before? I'm going to guess almost all of us. In the previous meals that you've been at, have there been times where a conversation starts over maybe current events? And that conversation leads from current events and it goes all of a sudden to political things, and then it goes to political differences. And you notice all of a sudden that not everybody is sharing anymore, and there's these different viewpoints at the table, and you can begin to feel the tension that has gathered, and sometimes even arguments take place as a result of differences. We can't expect everybody in our family at home to think the same way, to have the same viewpoints. The same is true of the church. We can't expect everybody in our congregation as we come this morning, in our faith family, to agree on every issue. But we are expected to get along. We are expected to show respect to one another and to love one another despite those differences. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, Paul makes a point of saying that we are one body as believers, and we partake of one bread. Conflict, tension, disharmony can all ruin a perfectly good meal. One thing we don't bring to the table as we come this morning should be divisiveness. When we come to the Lord's table, we don't have to agree on absolutely everything. We're not gonna agree on absolutely everything. But rather, we should focus on the one thing we do agree on, and that's Christ Jesus and Him being our Savior. What unites us, that one thing, is much greater than anything that can divide us. Focus on Christ. Come to the table in harmony this morning. We need gratefulness for this meal. Jesus gives thanks all the time through the New Testament. We talked in depth about this last week as we had opportunity to come and to share things that we're thankful for. You can look in your bulletin, and Lori had a hard time summarizing like 100 plus things down to just a page full. But we are a blessed people. And I know that we do a good job of giving thanks, but it's always a good reminder to us to be thankful when we come to the table. I don't know if you remember the quote from last week from Shakespeare, "Sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child." Right? We are all children of God, and we need to show appreciation. When we come to the Lord's table, we need to eat with gratitude, not take it for granted. Jesus has prepared a meal for us that cost Him His life. Let's remember that as we come this morning. We should appreciate the sacrifice that our Savior has made. Otherwise, we miss the whole point of why we come. And then lastly, we need to leave the table. When we're done here, after we've come and we've taken communion, we need to leave with purpose. Communion is an act that should be spiritually nurturing to us. It should be strengthening to us. It should be a time for us to be able to refocus our minds on what's most important, Christ Jesus. We're given the chance to be nourished, strengthened, and refocused for a purpose. And that is to serve Him with all that we are. Too many believers are content to just sit back, to take stuff in, but do nothing with it. The cost is too great for us to make that choice. And when we do make that choice, we end up being spiritually fat. It's like there's a spiritual tryptophan in what people hear from their friends that are believers or their pastor, or books that they read that just lulls them to sleep, and they don't use it for any kingdomly purpose. The best food and drink we could ever partake of is on the table. And we're invited to come and to partake. Let's make sure and bring the right stuff with us today. Let's make sure to bring the right attitudes with us, the right spirit with us. And let's be prepared as we leave to prove and to demonstrate the real spiritual strength and health that we have by the way that we choose to serve and work for our Lord in the days to come. Here at Fairland, now, we invite you, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, to be a part of what we're doing this morning, to come and to receive the elements. There's no age limits. As long as parents are with younger kids and can kind of help them with that, as long as the kids understand what it is we're doing, we encourage that. There's no membership requirements. We encourage it's an open table. In just a few minutes, we'll come forward and we'll actually receive it from the two tables. So if you're on this side, you'll just make your way up this way, one row at a time, starting from the back and going around. we're happy to bring the communion to you this morning if that's easier for you. There will be a deacon kind of wandering around, and if you just make eye contact with them, they'd be happy to bring it to you if that's easier for you to do. Before we come forward, I'm just going to say a word of prayer, and we'll have the deacons, if you want to open up the tables and prepare for people to come forward this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for the invitation that you give to us to come to the table. Help us, Lord God, as we respond to that invitation today, to do it with the right attitude, to do it with the right desires in our lives. Help us to do it with a good spirit, the spirit that is pleasing and honoring and glorifying to you, Lord God. As we come this morning and we take the bread and we take the cup and we go back to our seats and we partake of these two elements, may we be reminded of your incredible love for us. Help us to be grateful for that, Lord God, because we know that this meal that we come for this morning to the Lord's table was bought at a huge cost. So, Lord God, we thank you corporately together right now for your willingness to sacrifice your Son, for your willingness to see fit for somebody to pay the penalty for my sin, for our sins, so that we wouldn't have to do that ourselves. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to come forward in just a moment and to receive the communion. Take it back to your seats. Spend time with God. If there's something you need to make right with God, make things right with God. And then you can partake of the communion, the two elements, when you're ready to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come into this place and we can be with our brothers and our sisters in Christ, and we can remember your goodness to us. We see your goodness day in and day out. And that we will celebrate through the course of this upcoming week as we specifically set some time aside to just look at how kind and generous you've been to us and to give you thanks for those things. But allow us, Lord God, to not just get stuck on those material blessings that you've given to us, but to really think of the way that you've walked with us spiritually through this last year. To give you praise for those kind of things. To give you praise for the fact that you love us so much that we can come and celebrate together the incredible sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we thank you again for your love for each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.